You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, God, above all, for everything. Thank you, Radio Maria, for this opportunity. And welcome, everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we are indeed blessed, more blessed than we realize. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication is found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. It's the soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, grateful, 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 grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. I love in that supplication when Louisa says, it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising, another truth, another secret, sort of speaking. You know, God uses a myriad of different words. And it's not because he's holding things back intentionally to our demise. On the contrary, he's waiting until we're ready for it. And actually, our Blessed Mother explains to us exactly what Our Lady and our Lord mean by something more surprising, a secret, a truth. It's found in also the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, meditation number one. Our Blessed Lady explains in the language of heaven. She tells us, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding," end quote. So not only is God not holding things back, he's giving it to us when we need it and when we can appreciate it. Again, you don't give a five-year-old keys to a brand new car. He or she doesn't know what to do with it, or give a $100 bill to a two-year-old. You have to wait until the value is recognized. And I think that's what's happening each and every one of us. As we gather, as we journey in this divine will, we're recognizing the truths. And we're adhering to the Baltimore Catechism. We're loving God. Well, first of all, we're knowing God better. And when we know him, we love him. And when we love him, we want to serve him. And we know now through the explication that the best way to love, serve, and know him is to be with him, fused with our will in the divine will, so that God may be leading us to that immortal place of peace, happiness, and joy with him that is seems so distant from where we are right now. Sisters, great to have you back. I'm going to start while I'm on this mode of secret, you know, and then I'm going to try to be quiet for a bit. God wants to do this. He wants to give us these secrets. He wants to divulge these things to us. And I can't help. I came across volume 36. See, I don't read the volumes in order. I don't go from 1 to 36. I do more of a theme-based reading. So like, for example, if we're talking about the nothingness of the soul, there's a document that has maybe 100 passages that Jesus speaks about the nothingness, or fusing. There's about another 100 passages or more about fusing. If you want to do it, or if you want to explore this way of learning the divine will and reading it, you can go to queenofthedivinewill.org, and you can find it, among others, on two pages. One, the Divine Will Resource Library, and the page entitled Reflections into the Divine Will. You'll have all these theme-based compilation, so to speak, that help us understand a particular mode of what God is teaching us. But what I'd like to reflect on to begin with, sisters, because I'm just so excited, I'm sort of jumping out of my seat here. It comes in volume 36, December 28th, 1938. Remember, there's only 36 volumes. So this is the last volume that Jesus is dictating to Louisa. This is, in essence, the finale. This is the wrap up. You know, this is everything you need to go before I send you out. Volume 36, December 28, 1938. Our Lord tells us, quote, "Now, my daughter, listen to me and pay attention. I want to tell you a great surprise of our love, and nothing must escape you. I want you to know the extent of the maternity of my celestial mother, what she did, how much it cost her, and what she is still doing. You must know that the great queen was not my mother only in conceiving me, delivering me to the light, feeding me with her milk, and offering me all the possible cares that I needed during my infancy. This was not enough, either to her maternal love or to my love as her son. Her maternal love was always running through my mind, and if sorrowful thoughts were troubling me, she laid her maternity in each one of them, hiding them inside her love and kissing them. I could always feel my mind as if it were hidden under her maternal wings that never left me alone. Each one of my thoughts was kept by my loving mother, who gave me all her maternal attentions. Her maternity was placed in each one of my breaths, my heartbeats, and if I breathed and my heartbeat felt smothered by my love and sufferings, she would run with her maternity to free me from my suffocating love and put balm on my pierced heart. She will do this for you. She will do this for all her children." End quote. This is the mother we have. This is the mother. The patronage of Radio Maria, founded on the patronage of our Blessed Mother, the School of Mary on our Blessed Mother. Pope Francis says that the School of Mary teaches well the ABCs of our Christian faith and of life. And what's Our Lady doing? In every breath she takes, bringing us closer to her son. You just couldn't design a better plan. Sisters, so great to be together today. Hello, Sister Magdalena. Kumusta ka na po?
Hey, mabuti po. Salamat. Hello, everybody. You know, Peter, as you were saying all of these, the meditation one, and exactly that was my meditation today. And I was like,
Oh no. I stole your thunder
in my heart. I said, "No, Lord, I want to talk about something else. I want to talk about perseverance. I want to talk about those, all these beautiful virtues of God. No, come back to love and go to my mother." But I've been, you know, but it's kind of like boring. You know, I was thinking, we're reading this all the time, repeated it over and over and over. I want to do something else, something exciting, you know, something new. And I get blank out when I think of those, and it keeps the inspiration, because I'm like, no, say these things. And then you open it up with that. I'm like, you know, I'm so excited. Of course, divine will is so big. It encompasses everything. When I talk about the divine will, it's hard for me to even to find where to begin. Where do I begin? It has no beginning. It has no end. It's so grand. But I think it's a better way to start with our Blessed Mother, because she is the best teacher. And in continuation of what you said, she said, "My child, the love of mother, which I had for all men and for you in particular, was so great that I felt the extreme need to give my dear Jesus to everyone, that all might possess him and love him. The right of mother, given to me by the fiat, enriched me with such power as to multiply Jesus as many times as there are creatures who want to receive him. This was the greatest miracle I could perform, to have Jesus ready to give to whomever desired him. How happy I felt." So this is what you said, you know, that Jesus was telling us that this is really the maternity of our mother. And I go back to what she said. She also said, I was really stunned by this, because she said, "In seeing that you want to follow me, to imitate me, I feel refreshment for the flames of love which devour me." So our Blessed Mother wants us to imitate her. So in imitation of her, we ought to ask Jesus to live in us so that we can also bring Jesus to everyone, just like our Blessed Mother.
And Sister, may I interrupt for a moment? Imitating her is very important. And let's just go to the Catechism. Article 507 states, our Blessed Mother is the perfect example, the perfect model of our church. So why wouldn't we want to imitate the perfect model, the perfect example, who is our Blessed Mother?
Yes, exactly. And it's not just for her. It's for all of us who desires to live in the divine will. And then she talks about love, because everything our Blessed Mother does, the reason, you know, everything that she existed is basically to love God back. And because of this immense love for God in divine will, that she was able to contain God within herself, that she is now able to share that love to everyone. And then this is what she said about love. When one really loves, sacrifices and pains are refreshments. They are reliefs and outpourings of the love one possesses. Oh, my child, if you do not feel the good of sacrifice, if you do not feel how it brings the most intimate joys, it is a sign that the divine love does not fill all your soul, and therefore that the divine will does not reign as queen in you. It alone gives such strength to the soul as to render her invincible and capable of bearing any pains. So when we possess the divine will, when we possess love, there is extreme joy in that. There is joy that is just unbelievable. It doesn't expire. It doesn't have an expiration. You know, no matter what happens in our life, crosses become sweet. Sacrifices out of love for God become so sweet that we don't even want to let go, that we would desire it. And then she said, oh, how you too will feel the refreshing and conquering virtue in your sacrifices if you fill these voids with love. And he talks about the voids. What are the voids? She said, reflect that secret self-esteem, your being disturbed by every slightest adversity, those little attachments you feel to things and to people, that tiredness in doing good, that bother caused by that which you don't like, are equivalent as many voids of love within your heart, voids which, like little fevers, deprive you of the strength and of the desire to be filled with the divine will. So that's why the Lord wants us to detach ourselves from everything, because these little attachments to things other than God becomes the void that prevents us to fill ourselves with love.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. And at that time, you know, it's good to also identify, Sister. Well, first of all, another sure way to say that also, the voids you're talking about are, these are basically missed opportunities to give glory and honor to God on the level of God, because we're too involved in something else. But there's two voids that our Lord speaks about. I don't want them to get confused. This is the bad void, the one that we create due to our, you know, lack of attentiveness. But the other void that Jesus talks about is the void that in creation was placed in our soul, which is the cavity, the space in which we are destined to house God. We were supposed to house God. That's what Adam was supposed to do, but he didn't fill it up completely. So we've got the two voids, a good void and a bad void. The bad void, we need to stop doing, number one, if we can. Yeah. And number two, we have to make up, because Jesus says we have to fill all these voids that we created before we can enter heaven. And that's why he gives us that opportunity through this gift. It's just so everything is here.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to take over the whole time here, because there's many sisters here that wants to share, and I'm sure their share is great. I just would like to encourage everybody to please don't be like me, who resist sometimes, like, oh, I'm bored, I'm reading this all the time, but I cannot believe that I'm really learning so much. So please, if you have time, go back to meditation one and read it slowly and meditate on what our Blessed Mother are teaching us. It is so rich. I couldn't even say enough.
In other words, meditate on the meditation.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Hello, Sister Gloria.
Hi, how are you?
Everything's well. Thanks be to God.
Yes, thanks be to God. She talked about the maternal love. And the reading that I did today, it's from volume 28, August 24, 1930. It talks about how God loves us so much. He's overflowing love. And he assumes all forms in order to give itself to us, to the creatures. So this is the passage that Jesus talks to Luisa. My daughter, the love of my divine fiat toward creature is so great that it assumes all forms in order to give itself to the creature. It assumes the form of heavens, to remain stretched out over his head. And by remaining perennially extended, it embraces him from all sides, guides him, protects him, defends him without ever withdrawing, remaining always heavens, in order to form its heaven in the heart of the creatures. It assumes the form of stars, and it makes its meek twinkling sweetly descend upon the creature to caress her with its kiss of light and penetrate sweetly into her, that it may form the stars of the most beautiful virtues in the heaven of her soul. It assumes the form of sun to irradiate her with light and with its vibrant heat descend into the depths of her soul. And with the strength of its light and heat, it forms the tints of the most beautiful colors in order to form the sun of its fiat in the creature. It assumes the form of wind to purify her. And with its empire blowing, it maintains the divine life lit. And as it blows, it makes it grow in the heart of the creature. So really, God loves so much. And then he took all the forms in order to give himself to us. This is how much he loves us. This is what a humble God, the Father, we have. And, you know, because his love is so great and he lures himself to everything, everything we could think of, everything we make use of. It constitutes his life of everything. It can serve the creature. For example, the form of the air so that we can breathe, the form of a food so that we can be nourished, the water so we can quench our thirst. But he does that only because to receive at least one gaze, a smile of satisfaction, just a little invitation to let his will be descend into our soul. And just a little thank you of gratitude, but he is not receiving this, our return of love and our gratitude. And so God is so sorrowful, and because we are not paying any attention to it, you know, all this divine will that is the divine life that God embedded in all the creatures. But in spite of this, you know, God doesn't want to stop. He doesn't want to stop to stop loving us because he wants us to recognize his love and receive his love and give it back to him, because he loves us so much and we are his children, and he is so patient with us, and he's never gonna stop. His excessive of love, it will never stop. And in our life, you know, we also there are many crosses, the incidents and mortifications, the acts, the abandon of creatures, everything, you know, we suffer in our life, but we got to remember that that those are the pebbles that mark the ways that leads to heaven. These are by his providence, he disposed all these in our life so that it leads to the celestial fatherland. Of course, we wouldn't recognize it, you know, when it comes out in our ways. Like me, myself, you know, I am the first one who try to go around the suffering, any crosses. But he says that you got to remember that it is the God's providence that has disposed for us to suffer in order to fulfill the divine will in our life, and so that it become the acts of the divine life. So he said that many incidents of life are necessary, even though we don't want it. You know, those are the ones that really prepares us the road and to mark the way of to heaven. And I want to share that how even the same Paul, and throughout his letter to different places, one to Ephesus, he says that it is the Holy Spirit that gradually he's gonna carry out his fiat, his work, in order to bring out this divine will through the end of time. He said that so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We are not there yet, but gradually and eventually by the Holy Spirit, it is the work of Holy Spirit to sanctify and divinize and to really fulfill the will of God. And it's going to bring us to the maturity in fullness in the knowledge of God, and in the unity in the faith. And this is God's, Jesus' wish, that we become one with him as he is one with the Father. Before his passion, he prays this prayers to the God the Father. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am with you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity." So this complete unity, Jesus is giving us the divine will. By the complete participation in the will of God, we can truly reach to this complete union, the unity. And also before the end of time, the world comes, this unity will be achieved by the Holy Spirit, by this fiat.
And, you know, Sister, it was great sharing. The unity, we have to realize, Jesus explains to us, two factors have to happen for unity to actually be completed. Number one, those souls have to be united in truth. We can't be speaking different things. We have to be in truth. There's only one truth. We have to be united in truth. Second, we have to desire unity. Jesus says, "I'll give you unity, but you must desire it first." So we have to be in truth and we have to be desiring this unity. Well, the divine will does exactly that. It sort of clears the field. It doesn't do away with everything that was given to us in our church. It doesn't add to it. It doesn't complete it. But yet through the explication, the Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism, which states, although no new public revelations were expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to come to better understand what has been given already. So when we all come to the conclusion that the divine will is everything, it completely gives us the understanding of what God has done, what he's going to do, and Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, then we can be all, for lack of a better phrase, I don't like to all be on the same page, so to speak. We can all be grounded in truth. And then with that truth and the love of God, of course, we want to be united, and thus unity will happen. Otherwise, it's going to be a false unity. Sisters? About 3 minutes before break, maybe four, yeah. Sister Paula.
Okay, I just want to add something real quick of what Sister Gloria was saying of the being created and being one with God. That's how Jesus is one with the Father. Like, and the Catechism of the Church is actually in 356. It says that of all invisible creatures, only man is able to know and love his Creator. He is the only creature on earth that God has willed for his own sake, and he alone is called to share by knowledge and love in God's own life. So the more we know about God, the more we are able to love him, because I don't know who said this, I think St. Augustine, that we cannot love anything that we don't know. So right. That's our goal, to open our knowledge about him, to be able to love him more. And by loving him, knowing him more and loving him more, we can become to that uniqueness and order in which we were created for by him, like image and likeness in God. That was all I wanted to add. After the break, I'll add more.
Oh yeah, well, we'll have you back after the break. But that's very true. We kind of love something we don't know, and then once we do know, also there's different levels of love. I mean, we have a certain degree of love when we have a general knowledge of something, and then we have an increased love when we have a particular knowledge of something, of course, something good. Let's say, for example, the divine will. I'd like to go into the break with something a little unique. I don't think we've mentioned this before, but I think the sisters mentioned this. For those living in the divine will, everything is in the present act. And the soul sees the work of creation with the eyes of Jesus. And this can be meditated on. There's a poet, William Blake, and he wrote, quote, "To see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour." We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. And Speaking of Radio Maria, I want to spend a few moments, if we may, right now, just as we digest what we just heard through the words of our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady. Radio Maria, we mentioned, founded under the patronage of our Blessed Mother. Radio Maria giving you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week programming, Catholic programming, a Catholic voice in your home. You know, a lot of times we take what we have for granted and we don't recognize the value of it until we lose it. So that's something we don't ever want to happen with Radio Maria. But it does take time, and the volunteers are putting in the time. It does take money, and we need money. We need prayers. So again, there's spiritual gifts, there's financial gifts that you can give. We welcome both. We need both, Radio Maria. So please, if you can make a financial donation, please call 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. Again, it's 888-408-0201 or go to radiomaria.us. We're going to offer a gift to anyone making a pledge today. Hopefully it's a reoccurring monthly. That way, Radio Maria knows how much they have when they have it. I mean, if you recall the beginning of this program, the station ID is getting longer and longer. I'm a believer. If you build it, they will come. And that's exactly what's happening here. They follow the intuition of our Blessed Lady, and it's growing. All of us are helping Radio Maria grow. We're all participating in whatever way we can. So we're going to offer two gifts. We're going to offer, number one, a prayer relic card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of Luisa's clothing and the contact information on the back of the card, whom to call when, not if, you experience your miracle. So that's number one. Number two, we have an I Am Catholic card, which is about the size and weight of a credit card. And instead of creating debt, though, this is an asset you'll have. And it's just in case of emergency, please call a priest. It has the act of contrition on the back of the card. So both of these gifts are free to you. They're gifts. If you can help us, please, spiritually, financially, again, calling 888-408-0201 or going to radiomaria.us. Now, if you're hearing this in the archives, the same offer goes. It doesn't matter what time or what day you're listening to this, you still receive the gifts. It's not just during the live broadcast. So be it as it may, sisters, we're talking about everything here. We're going back to Sister Pamela. God's wrapping everything up. It's been 6,000 years. He's been giving us, disposing us, giving us grace upon grace, organizing it, explaining it. And he's given us the truth. And now we're slowly beginning to unravel all the stuff, all the junk over the truth, and looking at how beautiful truth is, because truth doesn't deviate. Truth doesn't. I mean, as a confession, whenever I don't tell the truth, I always get caught. So why get caught? Just tell the truth. You always remember it, number one, and it is what it is. It's the truth. And the truth in almost every situation is going to set us free. Right, Sister Pamela?
Amen.
She's placating me.
I want to share from volume 12, July 11, 1919. And the title is The Heavens of the Soul. Another day almost flying over in front of me, a light remained in my mind. That blessed Jesus, just as he has stretched out the heavens over our heads, so has he stretched out a heaven within our souls, or rather not one, but several. So heaven is our intelligence, heaven is our gaze, heaven is the word, the action, the desire, the affection, the heart, with the difference, however, that the external heaven does not change, nor do stars increase or decrease, while the heavens of our interior are subject to changes. So if the heaven of our mind thinks in a saintly way, as the thoughts are formed, so are the stars, suns, beautiful comets form. And our angel, as he sees them form, takes them and keeps placing them in the heaven of our intelligence. And if the heaven of the mind is holy, the gaze is holy, the word, the desire, the heartbeat are holy. So the gazes are stars, the word is light, the desire is comet that extends, the heartbeat is sun, and each one of these senses adorns its own heaven. And we have been listening to talks about angels, and we were really amazed on how they are so helpful, and they are always trying to do the best for us to become closer to God. And for me, this reading, it goes back also to Our Lady always. I mean, everything I read is taking me always back to my Mama Mary, because she being the queen and mother of heaven and earth, now it makes sense to me why all the angels are always around her, because she possesses the life of the divinity, like the divine will in its wholeness. And all her life was only and always for this, to be, to give life and to possess the life. And in another reading, I don't remember what volume I recently, I think it's volume 14, I recently read that God is the actions and the acts that we do fusing the divine will are so important and so tremendously important that even God makes, tells the angels to come and surround these acts to take care of them, because it's not only one act that, oh, okay, I just walk and it's an act. No, it contains the life, which is the immensity of God and the divine will, which multiplies all this importance of love, all this divinity, all these gifts that multiply every time that we do acts and rounds in the divine will. And it makes me more excited about how our angel is gets more glory also. Like, not only is me, not only is between me and God, but all creatures, all celestial creatures, all heaven, earth, purgatory, they get so immersed in this glory that it keeps growing and growing and multiplying. And what a beautiful gift to give this to our angel, to our guardian angel, this heavens that he can put them into work and put it in our, back into our souls. And I cannot imagine when we go to heaven, when we die, the immense joy and the immense happiness that we can, that we're gonna have to be able to see this enormous and big effects of the divine will. So yeah, everything is just so immense that we cannot really cover each one of these beautiful gifts and divine truths. But it's always encouragement to keep reading, and not only reading, but make it life. Like, each one of these truths, make it your own life, as Our Lady teaches us, and just keep persevering in, not in your own merits, but that of God's and that of the divine will.
And for everyone listening, you can't see the sisters, but I can. And I mean, they're reading, they're sharing their thoughts on the divine will, and you can see the joy. You don't just hear the joy, you can see the joy, and it's just it's contagious. I do have to. Well, you talk about the accidental glory. That's really important, because God tells us that this gift of the divine will, it's in a whole different dimension. Concomitantly, at the same time, when we do an act and round in the divine will, all souls, past, present, and future, all of creation is affected. So how can that be? So if all souls in heaven and the angels are 100% happy, how can they become happier if they're 100% happy? Well, it's a silly analogy would be, okay, if we're going to fill a container and say the container is filled, what is greater, a 12-ounce container filled or a 24-ounce container filled? Well, they're both filled. They're both at 100%, right? But the 24-ounce, of course, is more than the 12. Well, that's what happens, so to speak, with the accidental glory. The container of in which their happiness is being held is increased. And as the size of the container increases, God completes filling it again, as it was in the smaller unit, in a large unit, which again is greater happiness. If that makes any sense. If it doesn't, let me know and I'll give you a better explanation. Maybe I'll just let Jesus explain it. Sister Jacinta, hello.
Hello. So yeah, it's true. So like every time we do like acts and rounds, we're like helping to increase that accidental glory. And when we do it on behalf of like all souls past, present, and future, especially when we make reparation and when we fill voids of love, for example, when we join our love united to Jesus' love to fill these people's voids of love, like let's say someone kills themselves, then you can say, Jesus, I unite my love united to your love to fill this void of love that this person failed to give you. And in that way, And then that way we help give God all the glory and honor he deserves that the others fail to give him. And going back to what Sister Pamela said about the importance of doing acts and rounds, in volume 21, March 5th, 1927, Jesus tells Louisa about how important firmness is and how it's of a divine nature. So Jesus tells Louisa, "My daughter, firmness is of divine nature and a divine quality, and it is right that we give this participation and quality of divine nature to one who must be daughter of our divine fiat and must live in our kingdom. So your continuing your acts in it without ever interrupting them reveals that you are already in possession of the quality of our firmness. How many things firmness says? It says that the soul moves only for God. It says that she moves with reason and out of pure love, not with passion and out of self-interest. It says that she knows the good she does, and therefore she remains firm in it, without ever interrupting it. Firmness says with indelible characters, here there is the finger of God, therefore be firm in your acts, and you will have our divine firmness in your operating." So going back to Our Lady, a great lady of this divine virtue of firmness, a great example of this divine virtue of firmness is Our Lady. Like she always trusted in God, always gave her fiat, always constant in her behavior. And same with our Lord too. Like when you read the 24 hours of the Passion, you can see how Jesus had this firmness in not going out of the will of the Heavenly Father, and just enduring those sufferings out of love for us and for all mankind, past, present, and future. And also this also connects with some other passages in the volumes with constancy, because the more we're constant, the more we become more like God. Because before the fall, before original sin, Adam and Eve, they didn't have like a bunch of mood swings. You know, they were usually firm and constant and living in the kingdom of the divine will. And then the more acts and rounds we do, then that's the more, then they'll help us to be more firm. And also what helps us to make us more firm is to just say fiat to everything that happens to us. And going back to what Sister Gloria was saying, like even these sufferings, just giving our fiat always. And even though we may not understand the reason for these sufferings now, we will in the future or in eternal life. So it's important to always be firm and constant and living in the divine.
Very good. Yeah. And that also, again, bodes on what we were talking about earlier, Sister, you know, about truth. And although we need to be grounded in truth, remember, truth is always persecuted. But one cannot help recognizing the truth. And as time goes on, in every persecuted truth, it's always going to be recognized. So it's just a matter of time. So we pray that it be soon, of course, but it's in God's time. But we know one thing for sure, the divine will is here. It's not coming, it's here. Right, Sister Gemma?
Yes, that's right. I also want to add something about an experience with Jesus, to having a deep conversation with Jesus, and reading the Acts, about the Acts of the Divine Will. Jesus was explaining how important is what's the difference between interior and exterior acts, and that's it's on volume 22, July 30th, 1927, and Jesus says. Jesus explained why interior acts are superior to exterior ones. He said that the interior acts of a soul who does the will of God are free from any evil and shadow of defect. They are wounds, darts, arrows to the divine bosom. They are celestial messengers which are released from the creature and fly to her creator, bringing the mark of glory or love and of pleasing only the one who has created her. Whereas the external acts, which are also good and holy, cannot please him like the interior acts, because the external ones are almost always impregnated with their with the air of self-glory, with human esteem, and sometimes also with blame. So, and when I read this, I was thinking, we really have to create this interior conversation, deep love with Jesus, and then when we do that, automatically this conversation starts. But it's a conversation that we have only with Jesus, that only our soul and Jesus knows. There is no other people involved in that conversation. So that is so beautiful and so intimate, because it's between us, between me and Jesus. It's like two lovers that they love so much, and they know their intimacy, only them. Nobody else know their intimacy. They can see from the outside, but what's in their heart, what they say to each other, they only know. And this is the same intimacy that we have to create with Jesus. And that's why I say I love so much the interior acts, because it's so secret between the two it's so beautiful. And I don't have a word now, but it's individual. And so we have to create this intimacy with God. And it's not something that it comes, like maybe it can, like you just desire and ask Jesus and it will happen straight away. But sometimes maybe you have to work a bit on it, and maybe to ask Jesus the grace to ask your guardian angel to help you to have this intimacy with Jesus. But it's worthy to have it, definitely.
Thank you, Sister Gemma. It was beautiful.
Yes, this was
Sister Elizabeth. Hello.
Hi.
I wasn't sure if you were here. I didn't see you on the camera spanning. We didn't get to your corner of the room.
Yeah, I was in the background.
Driving. Oh, nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you too. And I was just thinking when Sister Gemma was speaking, how much the interior acts are superior to the external acts. And how many times also Jesus is telling to Lisa about the interior acts of Our Lady, how, you know, on the outside she didn't look like I mean, of course she was the most beautiful and the appearance and all, but you couldn't say that she's the most powerful creature that God created and all, because of her interior acts that were all done in the divine will and for love of her children and for the creator. And I was just reading from the volume 34 from May 31, 1936, how the divine will encloses all the acts of the life of Jesus, as in act to always repeat them for love of creatures. And the life of Jesus symbolizes the recall of the kingdom of the divine will on earth. So in this passage, Jesus is telling Luisa how everything in his life symbolized recall of the kingdom of the divine will. His conception, his exile to Egypt, you know, symbolized with it. He was repairing the exile of a man from the divine will when he did original sin, how Adam and Eve were exiled from Eden. And then once what struck me when it came explaining how the symbolism of his time passed in desert where he was tempted by the devil. So he says, from Nazareth, I passed on to the desert where there was maximum solitude and the greater part ferocious animals that deafened the desert with their roars that surrounded me. Symbol of my divine will that, since it is not known, forms the desert around the creature and a solitude that is horrifying and frightful. The good is laid waste, and the soul feels herself surrounded by more than fierce animals, that is, her brutal passions that send roars of rage, of bestial furies, of cruelty, of every sort of evil. My holy humanity went step by step, retracing all the sorrows that my divine will has suffered in order to repair it and recall it to reign again in the midst of creatures. I can say that my every heartbeat, breath, word, step, and suffering was the continuous recall of my will to make itself known to the creatures in order to let it reign. And it called them into it in order to let them know the great good, the sanctity, the happiness of living in the fiat. So how Jesus is explaining here to Luisa, how he, you know, he was repairing all this in the desert. It makes me think how he's saying the desert symbolizes not knowing the divine will, and how probably all of us that decide to live in the divine will, that accept this gift and want it, will Jesus wants us to pass through this desert, and also how really he redid, he made all the reparations that each one of us will pass, all these three temptations by the devil. So while we are in the desert, like we already decided, you know, to leave the worldly things, to leave the human will and all, but there comes the temptations, you know, the temptation of turning stone into bread, like to see the fruits of our works, or you know, to throw throw yourself through the cliff, and the angels will come and okay, we trust God, but we still want some like divine intervention and all, like we want something. And it reminds me also from today's reading from the Divine Office. It was about King Ahab. He consulted 400 prophets to see if he needs to go to the war or not. And the Lord said that he put the lying spirit in the mouths of all these 400 prophets to tell him, yes, go to the war, but actually he was going to his ruin. I mean, that was God's permissive will, of course. And it is just connected with this, what Sister Gemma was saying. If he had really, if he was living in a state of grace, and if he asked God in his heart, you know, like, show me the way, Lord, what should I do? Like King David, God would tell him, because the interior acts, you know, if you're in a state of grace and really seek God's will and to love him, are so much more than the exterior ones, because the exterior ones will it's so easily the devil can enter into it. Thank you.
Beautiful. Anyone that has not spoken, sister?
We've all have spoken. You, Peter, you have always had the greatest
yeah. idea. So I'm the one that can't keep still. No, if anyone would like 1 or 2 minutes, what I have to say is only about 2 minutes long. Anyone have anything they'd like
to say? What about Sister Gemma?
Beautiful.
I don't have anything to her, but what can I say? Just read the books of the Divine Will and you will find all the... You will find all the truth that you are looking for, and keep reading it, and you will find joy and peace, and you will know the Lord more and more.
Amen. That's right. The truth will be uncovered.
And Mother is coming back soon. We are so excited.
That'll be wonderful. That'll be wonderful. Well, I'm going to close in with this. You mentioned about the Divine Office. I'm going to read something that's contained in the Liturgy of the Hours, volume 1, page 169. You know, Liturgy Hours, Divine Office, this is read by the clergy every day. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, if you're not familiar, he's one of the church doctors that stated that there are three comings of our Lord. I know it sounds heretical, but there are three comings. The third lies between the first and the second, where we are right now. This is in the Liturgy of the Hours, quote by St. Bernard. Because this middle coming lies between the other two. It is like a road on which we travel from the first coming, which has happened, of course, to the last. In the first, Christ was our redemption. In the last, he will appear as our life. In this middle coming, he is our rest and consolation. In his first coming, our Lord came in the flesh and in our weakness. In this middle coming, he comes in spirit and power. In the final coming, he will be seen in glory and majesty, end quote. So this middle coming, which we're living right now, this era of sanctification, God preparing us for the final coming, we're in right now. We can't miss this. And if it's a middle coming, this is also, we are living during the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which Our Lady brings all her children back to her Son. You can't make this stuff up. Truth will always unveil itself eventually. It's being done right now. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Radio Maria. Thank you, sisters. Love each and every one of you. And I was laughing, and not laughing, but I'm just so impressed. Five out of the six, correct me if I'm wrong, five out of the six sisters that you heard today, English is their second language. I mean, you would never know it. You would never know it. Thanks be to God for everything and for Radio Maria. Until next time, God willing, love everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. We love you. God bless you.